So it is Friday, September 16th, and this is Jen Yeager in the Seldovia Museum. I'm talking with Clara Moonen and her daughter Margaret Moonen, and this is an interview for Seldovia Village Tribes in Our Own Words program. Clara, you have lived in this area your whole life, right?
Correct.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
I moved here, been through back and forth in Seldovia with my parents after the earthquake. I remember when we were young kids, we went to school. I can't exactly remember how many months, but they worked in the cannery in the boardwalk days, and because the canneries used to go, they ran cannery all year round. Well, which was Wakefield. It was called Wakefield, where my mom and dad worked. And I can't exactly remember how many months. But after we had moved back to English Bay, which is, their name is now Nanuluk, but it was English Bay when I was born there. They took us back to English Bay in about 1966, because my dad, we didn't come back to Seldovia, but we had relatives here. Dimitri Moonen, when my dad worked at Wakefield, his brother lived in the upstairs of Wakefield and with his family, and he had a big family. And there's six of us in our family. And now I'm forgetting something. But we moved back to English Bay, and my dad started working and fishing before he started walking back from English Bay to Port Graham every morning to go to work. When work was over, he'd walk back from Port Graham to Nanuluk, English Bay. And after about, I'm thinking 1966 was when he moved us to Port Graham, because it was getting a little tough for him to walk back and forth. Of course, his family, his mom and dad lived in English Bay, and most his relatives. And my mom, actually, she was born in Portlock. My dad was born in English Bay. And then we lived in Port Graham. I lived there until about 1976, and I moved to Homer, and then back to Port Graham, and then I moved back to Anchorage. And after Anchorage, I moved back home to Port Graham. By that time, I was too old. You know, I didn't want to live with my parents anymore, so I left, even if I was going to be homeless. I came here to Seldovia to work in the cannery, and I moved out of here again in 1981, moved back to Anchorage. Then I left Anchorage and moved back to Port Graham again for about four months to work in the cannery and a housing project. And I moved here to Seldovia in 1985, and I've been here since. And then what? Margaret? And our church, actually, I remember our Russian Orthodox Church in Nanuluk. We had, the church was always full of kids, and our elders and my parents took us to church. We were baptized in Russian Orthodox, all of us. And they did not have no stoves, so it was kind of cold sometimes, but it didn't seem to matter. We were used to it. And of course, we had tights, I believe. And we lived really close to the church in Nanuluk. And it was either starring for Christmas And for Easter, I remember when I was a young girl, they had church start about 11:30 at night, and you'd get all dressed up with a nice big, I had a nice pretty fluffy dress, but I would fall asleep and missed out on the Easter service. But I made it to the airport in Nanuaq to play, we called it alley baseball. And we had played other games that I cannot remember right now. But we were not allowed to chew gum for 40 days. We were not allowed to eat meat, eggs until Easter. Like I said, we were really not allowed to chew gum. We were not allowed to play until after Easter, which was a 40-day, Lent? Yes, Lent. Okay.
So it was no meat and no eggs. What were your meals like?
We had rice, your homemade bread without eggs. Our bread was pretty simple. It was like oil, yeast, your water, flour. I think that's about it. It was Crisco, not oil. Mm-hmm. Actually, lard. Forgive me, lard was called lard in them days. We used lard as butter on our toast when we ran out of butter. And the butter we had there in yellow cans. They had them in cans, which was really cool. But nowadays we have them in cubes or paper form. And we did have a church here. The three churches to me are similar, like Soldovia, Nanuaq, and Nilchik. They all looked pretty much alike, inside and out, which was pretty unbelievable. But our Nanuaq church got old and pretty well rotted, so they built a new church. And they're always pretty full because they're all Russian Orthodox there. And we kind of floated away from the Russian Orthodox when we moved to Port Graham, because at the time they did not have a church. They did have an old church, I guess way back when my dad was a young man, a teenager, but that also was kind of an old, black and probably mold. They quit using it. And my dad's family, his grandparents, were buried in that area where the old church was. I believe it's still standing there.
The old church?
Yeah, very old church. And they do have a church now. They do have services, and they don't have as many people, except for holidays now. A lot of people, like for Good Friday, did not like it because they called it starvation. For Good Friday, we weren't allowed to eat until after services from 10 until 2 in the afternoon, until you had your communion, and 2 o'clock everybody, and my parents, they did all that nice cooking. We had Easter bread and colored, they were mostly red dye for our Easter eggs, if you remember that, Margaret. We had frosted our Easter bread, and we had jelly beans in them days, jelly bellies, whatever they call them. We'd cut them in half, and we had fun decorating. And you had like toothpicks maybe, and you grew flowers on the Easter bread, and you put the Easter bread, it was always round, and you used coffee cans that were tin, and they'd have them about, I don't know how long that is, honey, but a foot long, maybe. I mean, it's round. It was rounded from a coffee can. I believe it was a 3-pound can. And we decorate that. Easter bed had your raisins, your walnuts, some kind of dried fruit. I never was really specially liked, but there was raisins in it. But when you decorated Easter bread, you lined it sometimes with your painted eggs, frosted, and then you took a dozen or two, maybe two dozen, to church. Where after church, I guess it's called forgiveness. You traded your egg, you went and crossed yourself, I believe, and gave the egg to the other person. You kissed them like Russians, like this. And you traded your egg for the whole church with everyone.
Okay, so it was the 2 dozen eggs you'd take to church, not the 2 dozen Easter bread?
You didn't. Maybe took two, anywhere from 2 to 4, to give to your two families, like their mother-in-law or their mom and dad, mm-hmm. and another relative, maybe the priest.
The Easter bread?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it kalich?
Yeah, kalich is what it's called. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And what am I forgetting? I'm forgetting something.
Why were the eggs red?
That's because we had that paper dye. It's now, I see they use it for gift wraps. We used vinegar to bring the dye out to the eggs.
Mm-hmm. Like boiling water. Like a tissue paper or something?
Yeah, it's kind of like a, what do you call them? They used to come in. I remember they had to have them, and I believe maybe we bought them here from Soldovia or Homer. Mostly think Soldovia when they had a store here.
Okay, so you'd use vinegar to get the dye out of the paper and then use it to dye the eggs?
To get on the eggs.
Okay.
It's pretty cool the way it worked. And nowadays they have newer type stuff, but I still use that if I have. You could use food coloring in red, and you use vinegar to make the dye work on the eggs, which is kind of cool, old days.
Okay. And you mentioned playing games at the airport, so would that be on Easter Day?
Yes, after the long service from. Okay. I think, seemed like we were there. It must have been after church, which would be over about 3 or 4 in the morning, because everybody would have it's called Passover. See, some of all that I'm really forgetting, because and we do the with the church. Before the church was over, you would take the cross, the big icon, around 3 times around the church on the outside, and then they rang the bell real fast or slow, and then it would get faster and faster as you're coming to the third. And everybody, the icon first used to walk into the church, everybody else followed behind. And and also after it was over, they rang the church for, it seemed like it was maybe 3 days or something like that. Just the celebration type that. We're all glad to eat our seal meat and moose and eggs.
Yeah, probably been a long month without any of that.
Oh, yeah, 40 days.
Yeah, 40 more than
days.
A month.
Yeah, I believe it was a 40-day. A lot of people still somewhat follow that tradition in Port Graham and Nanaulak. Not as many as they used to be. They sneak a lot of their meat. But I think that's a good time to lose weight, too, with less, not much bacon. We had our salted fish, of course.
Could you eat that, or was that considered meat also?
You know, we did eat fish, I remember that, but we weren't allowed to eat the meat. Mainly probably because it had a lot of blood on it. Something to do with blood of Christ, I believe. I'm not quite sure. But we would eat. I know some days my cousin in Port Graham would tell me we're not supposed to eat meat, but we had meat last night, you know, stuff like that for Easter and Russian Christmas also was kind of I'm not quite sure how long the Russian Christmas Lent is, really. But I know the priests, one of my cousins would do dinners for them because they weren't allowed to eat certain foods, meats and stuff for Russian Christmas and Easter, before Easter. And then they'd have what you call Easter egg hunts for kids mm-hmm. after services. Either that would be that Sunday afternoon or whatever day. I think especially Sunday afternoons they would do it because we still had services even though the Easter service was over. We'd have service, I believe it was, we'd go back like 10 in the morning until about 12.
Okay.
So you're right. We did not have no chairs for you to sit on. We didn't have stove like they do nowadays. You know, nobody wants to go to church and be all cold, but I remember we didn't have nothing like that. And women were supposed to wear a scarf, married women. But nowadays they say just all women, regardless of if they're married or not, would have to wear what is it called besides a scarf? Something over their head, like a little, like you use on a table. It looks like you just pin it on your, no, not a bandana. It's like those flowery looking round things they put on their hair. It's considered you were always supposed to wear a dress. And my dad was always complaining about us going to church with pants on. Because you're not a man, you're a woman. You got to wear a dress to go to church. And like I said, after we moved from Nunavut, like we kind of lost that tradition. So I used to wear dresses all the time until I became a teenager and kind of was, a little defiant, I guess, and did not want to wear dresses every time. But if you didn't, you got in trouble and you got a little punished.
By your family, you mean?
Family, mm-hmm. Yes. You had to. And a lot of times when you were maybe sinned and everybody knew it in the village, you had to kneel at the church. What was it, anywhere from 50 to 100? Like a Hail Mary type. Cross yourself and kneel 50 times.
Was that outside the church?
Inside.
During a service?
Yes. Before you had your communion, I believe that was what it was, because it was called a confession before having communion. And I believe before you had your confession, you had to kneel cross yourself 50 times and kneel before you had your communion, or something like that. That was pretty strict church in them old days. And they tried, when we had a new bishop, he tried to bring that back. He tried to get rid of all the chairs in a church because it was true that we did not have no chairs whatsoever in the church. But nowadays it's a little bit more because of people with illnesses and emphysema or bronchitis, bronchiectasis or asthma, because of the that stuff the priest would use to burn and bless the icons and on like you cross yourself four corners.
The incense?
Incense is what it's called. And for people that have asthma, that's a little rough. Like my mother was one of them. And we'd have to have her sit by a window, which nowadays they have a sliding window. And she had to sit pretty close to the window. It didn't bother her so much because she was a strong believer in Orthodox ways. So was my dad. Both my mom and dad were really Orthodox, really into the church. And teachings of the church was pretty strict.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that were not married, were not, still to this day, are not allowed to have communion. You could have confession if you wanted, and you get your blessing, but you couldn't have communion because you're not married. And then what?
I'm curious how the services were. What languages you spoke?
It was Slavonic. It was a little bit Russian, but it wasn't. They never sang it in our language. Nowadays, I believe they do.
In Sukhstan?
Yeah, in Sukhstan. Or Sukhbek, whatever they call it. Aluteks, Sukhbek. It's all pretty much the same.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of different terms for it. So. And spellings.
Yes. I do not know how to read the language they wrote in books. But I was pretty fluent with my parents in Sukhstan. Because they were, in the old days, they had not really doctors. And they had a lot of home remedies. Vinegar was one of them. I did not like that. Because I remember I had a real bad cold and coughing, and I had a little shot of that, about a tablespoon of vinegar, and it was so gross. But it helped, I believe, cleared your throat a little so I could fall asleep. We did not have no cough syrups or anything. We had what did you have that tea?
Yarrow.
Yarrow is what we used for cold remedies. And tree sap was used, it was a gum. You chew that for a sore throat and a cold.
What kind of tree?
Spruce, off of the spruce tree. And thing of it is, from the spruce tree also, they occasionally have, before they turn into pine, they used to use those. You could eat that when they were little babies growing. You could pick them and eat them with, put sugar in milk.
The small needles?
No, the spruce tips. I think when they turned kind of reddish.
Before they turn reddish?
I think when they start turning, when they're soft before they turn into pine cones. I remember eating that too. And they also had some other plant. I can't think of which was used for something like that. And kelp, you know, they have all. And I see they have kelp. My dad said when he was a young man, he had a problem with arthritis, and he said he used kelp to cure himself. and he wasn't able to move his, he used to say his elbows very good, his arms, and they had saunas, and they used the kelp and alder leaves as hot as you can handle. They had kelp, and you just kind of padded yourself with it in a sauna with the leaves from in a basin of hot water, as hot as you can handle. Of course, the saunas were pretty hot. I would say about anywhere from 80 to 100, because and in them old days, the saunas were very short, where you had to crawl in on your hands and legs.
Did you call them saunas, or did you have another?
Banya. It's called a banya in them days. Yeah, that's what we call them, banya. And they made them real short, I believe, because of the heat. And in them days also, they had like a sea lamp what we used. And we had gas lanterns and lamps, kerosene lamps. And... okay, so it's your turn.
When you say the seal lamps, are you talking like the stone lamps? Or what were they like?
I think the stone lamps, by the time I was about 8, 10 years old, we used glass plates and some sort of oil besides seal oil.
Okay, so the same design, same, but just design, a plate instead of a stone.
Probably more pleasant smell. But there was no smell to it, believe it or not, because you soaked your cotton-type... you soaked it in oil, and you put a rock on the... kind of close to the end of the plate, so it would burn. Because there's big families, and like I said, my parents had 6 kids, and we lived in Nunavik. If you've been to Nunavik, the upper side where the church is was just my dad's family, his sister and her husband, his brother, my grandparents, and my dad and us kids. We're the only ones that lived up the hill, pretty close to the graveyards too, by the church, and on my mom and my grandma and grandpa's property, where most of the families were buried.
And what was your father's name, and both your parents actually?
My dad's name was Alexander Moonen, and my mom was Margaret P. Her maiden name was Yukadish. She married my dad, Moonen. She is a Moonen.
So, Margaret, are you named after your grandmother?
Yes.
That's her namesake, yes. And my mom was born in Portlock. My dad was born in English Bay. I was born in English Bay also, but my grandma, his mother, was Jesse. Kamlock was her last name.
What was the last name?
Kamlock, K-A-M-L-U-C-K. But he told me that she was from Soldovia. My grandpa married her and moved her to English Bay. And her parents, after the earthquake, when they moved the graves to where they are at the cemetery now, she brought her dad back to rebury him in English Bay. But she never made it back to bring her mother home. Of course, in them days, you had to take them to church before you buried them, because you weren't really allowed to dig out your remains of your parents. But after the earthquake, everything kind of went down under So they did have to move
right.
the graves.
Because the graveyard was real low, right? Mm-hmm. It was yeah. basically on the beach, I think, or close it to was. It.
I believe it was, okay. even before the boardwalk days.
Mm-hmm. And so your grandmother is buried in the cemetery here now?
It would be great.
Great-grandma.
That would be my mom, my dad's grandma.
Okay.
Grandma and grandpa was buried here in Saldovia. Is what he used to tell me. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all I know, I guess.
So I have a question. I guess, back about Easter service, with the services ending at 3 in the morning, and mm-hmm. then you said you had another regular service at 10 o'clock or so. So in between, did everyone go back and sleep, or did you have...
Yes, we did after we had our dinner, our breakfast, which was kind of like a dinner.
And so that would have been 3 or 4 in the morning?
Yes. And by the time it was getting daylight, about 5 or 6, us kids would go down the beach and play, because we were not allowed to play for quite some time, like 40 days, like I said, till after the Easter service.
When did the whole holiday start? Was it like Sunday morning you go to church?
Yes.
Would it be an all-day thing, almost?
No. No. It used to be from 10 till 12.
Maybe take a break and then come back that night?
Yes, because a lot of people also came from Port Graham, and sometimes relatives maybe from Saldovia, and most of them stayed with my grandparents. And sometimes with my parents too, and possibly my uncle and my aunt. A lot of people stayed with my grandparents mostly because they had a bigger house. But we had cousins too. On my mom's side, she had people stay with her at her house too. But some of our cousins stayed with us. Coming from Port Graham for Easter services or Christmas service.
So they'd mostly skiff over?
Walk.
Oh, okay.
They had a good trail. Mm-hmm. And some of them maybe skiffed. They didn't really have motors. They rode themselves from Port Graham. They called it a ladder, where my grandpa, the Father Moonin, and other young people, they would knock big nice trees down to a ladder, or down at the cliff, and they'd build ladders, and they kept the road open for people to come down to have services, and sometimes they walked. But when we had when it was easier to fly, some of them did fly that back and forth from Port Graham to Nanook, English Bay. And most services were held in English Bay, that I remember.
Do you remember what period of time it was that Port Graham didn't have a church, approximately?
I believe sometime in the 60s, I believe.
Was when they stopped using the old one?
Yes, and then my mom's uncle Sergius used to hold services at his house because we did not have a church. And then they had called a community center where we could have dances and games or get-togethers. They turned that to a church at the Apron. It's called the Apron in Port Graham. And then that's pretty much it, I think.
Okay.
Port Graham was not. They had what we called missionaries, mostly in Port Graham. And we loved going to them. We were really not allowed to because you're Russian Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
But we did like their juice and their graham crackers. That was like a treat.
Do you remember what church they were with?
We just called them missionary. Okay. They were good people. They taught you a little bit about the Bible. I believe a lot of churches are a lot alike when it comes to the Bible. They're stricter. Orthodox is much more stricter than any church I've known. Catholic and Russian Orthodox, they're kind of similar, except they cross a different way. We cross. They cross kind of backwards. We do this way, from right top to the head, to your belly, to the right, then left. And Catholics did it from top down, left and right, which is kind of still pretty cool. Bill, he's a Catholic, and we go to my church, and I watch him cross himself, and everybody would get a little kick out of it, because he'd cross himself as a Catholic. But we took that to, we didn't bother him about it, but yeah. At some days it would make you sad, because you're like, you go have confession and they say you could have communion, and I was really upset. In the late 80s, I went to service and I was really upset because I was not allowed to have communion. I was allowed to have a confession. Mm-hmm. And it was a Father Uskolkov. I should have known better that he spotted me right up. And
Father Scott, now that sounds like an Inelchik name.
It is.
Okay.
He died a while ago. Simeon Uskolkov. He had held services here in Soldovia and Port Graham and Nanuolik, Inelchik and Kenai and Anchorage. The church we have in Anchorage was built, I remember when I was a little girl, it was like a basement type. A square looking thing, and he built a nice big church now you see in Anchorage. It's off a turbine. Father Harris was his name that built that church, and he moved, I believe it's either Seattle or New York. He moved out states, but he's the one that built that Russian Orthodox church.
What about the church here in Soldovia? Did you ever attend services at St. Nicholas?
Yes, I have. There would be only one or two of us with the priest sometime, most times, because there's hardly any Orthodox anymore in Soldovia. Most of the time it was with Elaine Giles, Lillian Elsaus, myself, sometimes my kids. And her kids. Most of the time it ended up with just sometimes two of us, like Elaine and myself and the priest, in the evenings, Saturday evening and then Sunday morning. I mostly went Saturday evenings when I started working at the Main Street Market, the store here, because I had to work in the mornings at on Sunday. So it slowly kind of died off, the church. I would say about, I want to say, let's see, when was the last time? Last time would have probably been 2011, if I remember correctly.
The last time there was a service here?
Yes.
Do you remember how long it's been since there were regular services?
I want to say about regular would have been about 94 until about I want to say 2004. It wasn't really regular. It was when he was done, the priest was done with services in Port Graham and Nanuaq. They'd come over to give us services and have communion and confession and communion and bless our homes once a year. And there was only like maybe half a dozen houses possibly. Helen Nagy was one. Lillian Elsaz, Aggie, myself. And I believe sometimes, I believe Darlene Crawford invited them to her church or her house. This was for like Russian Christmas, I believe, when they starred. Mm-hmm. You were invited to certain places. We don't have very many people going to church here anymore. It's pretty much, our church is getting pretty well rotted, wood's getting rotted. So right now we're a little worried about our icons getting damaged, and it did get worked on about, I want to say about 90, somewhere about 98, 99. But the whole church does need to be renovated, I should say. Because the windows are real old from the back of the day. And you could kind of see where they're starting to, maybe so much pressure from the roof and the snow through the years. They're kind of starting to rot. And they used to have a Toya stove, I think, to keep the moisture out. Right. But we've been kind of, Susie Gruber helps with the having the key for the church, and to me, I tell her myself, it's not really safe anymore. And when they were working on the church last summer, I believe, they called to see if I could come in and help, and I told them, I can't even walk. I'm sorry. I would if I could. But then at the time, I was telling Susie, please don't let nobody go up the stairs where the bells are, because I myself know how the wood rots. It's so soft. You could actually probably go right through. And it's getting worse, and I'm not sure what we're going to do or what's going to be done, because it's been around quite a few years. I'm not exactly sure. 1950s maybe, was it? I believe 1940s maybe.
Well,
1950s maybe.
The church... The first part of it, the main part of it, was built about 1891.
On the bluff?
Right. And then the front part of it, I think, was added about 1906. So it's all pretty old.
It is very old. You can tell just by looking at it. It's been painted over. But you can also kind of smell the mildew a little bit and the wood rot. I think because of the, like I said, through the winters with no stove, and weather is bad on it. We get, you know, salt spray from the cold winters or wind blowing, and even in the summer, you know, you could tell it gets a little greenish looking from the ocean. Salt water, I think, does more damage than anything. So we really haven't had any services. I believe, like I said, since 2011 is what I remember last. Because my dad was having communion at my house because he couldn't come in for services. I'm trying to remember, though, he wanted to go to the service when we buried his niece. and some other elder, Nick Elksnick was his name. He was a Orthodox too. He was from Ninochik. He would have been a real good storyteller, that guy. He knew a lot.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about him. I wish I had gotten to meet him.
Yeah, he was a nice. He called, I used to clean for him, and he would call me, "Don't get too particular, Mom." He meant to say ma'am, but he said mom. He called you mom. And he was a very smart guy that knew a lot of history way back when. Even my dad talked about his mother. My dad was a longtime fisherman also. And he said when they came to his Nick's mom, she would bring her a king salmon, and within an hour or two, he said they'd be eating a fish pie, pirok. Pirok is what they called it. And he said he was amazed how fast she would get it together for them. She was so thankful that he brought her fish. And in the old days, like my dad said too, they didn't leave anybody out when it was time to put fish up. He said everybody, I don't know how many people, I guess a lot of people, they fished and they brought fish for everyone. Everybody had fish in their smokers or salted barrels. They didn't have buckets like we do now. They had barrels, and then you put weight on the top of the lid of the barrel that supposedly made the fish firmer, and you use salt, rock salt, to preserve your fish or your seal meat or your cabbage, because we had no refrigerators, no water, no bathrooms until the early 70s back home.
How did you process the meat before you salted it, or the fish?
Soaked it out in water.
Okay.
We had to carry our water like across the at the airport, across from the apron. Mm. And in Nonoluk, my grandpa had they built a wooden, kind of like a big pipe, wooden pipe, and they wired it all the way around. And it was pretty long, probably into the ground, and that's where you got clean water in Nunavik, in English Bay. I remember that because we used to carry water for my grandparents and our house too. So they did a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And they, like I said, they also took care of the trail for our people to come from Port Graham to fish.
Yeah, because that's...
for services. Mm-hmm.
That's probably maybe 4 miles or so, I'm just guessing.
Close to 4 miles, I believe. 3.5, almost 4 miles. Because we used to, when we were teenagers, we'd try to make time, and we'd do it in 40, 45 minutes, which a lot of times it took hour and a half for older people. But we wouldn't wait for anybody. The trails were nice. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, they're pretty well rotted, the wood. But the older people, see, they kept up with it all, with whatever tools they had. They had hand saws. I don't remember ever having chainsaws at the time. But after they passed, nobody took care of the roads as well as they did. They all caved in, you could see. And then they built a new road, which they don't even really take care of either now, because most everybody will use their skiffs, their boats, or fly from Port Graham to Nunavik now to go back and forth to the store or see family, or for their funerals also, if somebody passes in the villages. Both places they go. show their, say their byes to the whoever passes in English Bay or Port Graham. So in that way, they're good to Orthodox, especially. They're really respectful for the dead, for the family, stuff like that.
Remember, you used to put sugar out, and I think, I don't know if that was a religious thing or if that was superstition when someone passed.
Because I wanted to see if there was going to be an indentation of, I just heard it from someone and I wanted to try it.
Mm-hmm. Was that a Russian Orthodox?
Yes, I believe so.
They put sugar out and they'd
maybe leave a handprint or something.
So you'd wait so many days after someone died.
3 days, and you put a candle up for them and lit a candle on the icon. And if you see it flicker, we used to think the spirits came to say their byes. And for the people we bury, we'd have their goodbye dinner. I was thinking of something else. And there, I'm trying to remember, after 30 days, I believe, in the old days, you got rid of everything that belonged to them. You gave it to the families, or you had to burn it. Mm-hmm. And that's not practiced anymore. Like I said, we're losing our tradition pretty much. I'm probably one of the last. We're probably, our age group is about the last. I know Josie always complained about, they starved you, he said. Uh-huh. They starved the hell out of you when you were on Easter services. You couldn't eat for 2 or 3 days. And I said, no, that's not true. They did eat, but it was Good Friday was the day where you couldn't eat, like I said, probably after midnight. And you went to church at 10 until 2. After 2 is when you had your feast of people at my grandparents' or my folks, both grandparents actually fed, you know, you fed everybody that came from Port Graham or wherever, from the villages.
So you'd have a feast on Good Friday, and then would you have another big dinner on Sunday then?
Yes. Yes. We made sure people was fed. And
what was the Good Friday service like? Was there anything special?
It was, mm-hmm. It was black. Mm-hmm. We had a big, you had steps to climb on to kiss the icon. And then on Easter, it was nice and bright and white and flowery. Mm-hmm. On Easter Sunday. There is a difference. Good Friday is kind of like Black Friday, I guess you could call it. But Easter Sunday was bright, flowers and stuff. And we had where we used to have flowers on a, like a, kind of like a, almost like a Christmas tree where you put your flowers for, I cannot remember if it was Good Friday or before Good Friday, mm-hmm. after Good Friday, one of those two.
So flowers in, you know, March, April in Alaska are kind of hard to come by. Were they real flowers or did
no,
you have paper flowers?
We made our flowers from the stuff we used to dye our eggs.
Okay.
We used to help. We used to help. I knew how to do all that. I cannot remember, but I remember we used to curl the flowers. Petals, I guess, is what you call. You cut the shape like a teardrop, big on top, round and narrow to the bottom a little bit, and you curled it over with a scissor. And you put it together and either use a some sort of wire to make flowers and stems for family members and sometimes for the whole village. A few households would make them.
Okay.
I know one of them was us. I remember making them when I was a little girl. Enjoyed doing it too.
Mm-hmm. And so all new flowers every year?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like there's a lot of preparation that goes into Easter.
Yes, it was. It was enjoyable though, mm-hmm. at the time, because it was something to do.
Maybe helped you take your mind off not being able to play.
Yeah, or chew your gum, you know, mm-hmm. or have candy and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But and then in the old days they had those cream looking candies, you know, Easter egg cream. Not cream inside of it, but they're pink, white, whatever color.
Oh, okay, yeah, I think I know which. Yeah, they were bigger than jelly beans, or about like this big. I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were good at when you first had a couple, and you okay, that's enough sugar. You know.
Yeah, they were really sweet. They're kind of the outside was sort of a waxy.
Yeah.
Consistency. Yeah, like yes. One or two were good, and then.
Forget
that was enough.
Yeah.
It tasted kind of strange after that.
Well, I think that's all I know, unless you have any more questions.
Can I ask you just a little bit about, at the very beginning, you mentioned the time of the earthquake, and I couldn't quite tell, were you in Seldovia?
No, I was in English Bay.
Okay. Do you remember that day?
Yes, I was wondering why I was dressed up to go. They had us dressed up, and I was sitting at the bed wondering what was going on. And like our Russian Orthodox belief, our priest told us, don't be scared, we're not going to go up the mountains because the tidal wave. And I'll tell you what, it passed us right by. All we did was, he had a service, I'm sure, and everybody did their praying in the house, kneeling to. We have icons in our house, and it's usually the east side they have the icons. And we did a lot of praying, and it passed us by.
Mm-hmm. So you knew that there was a wave coming? Or probably?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Was, because my dad, he was down either picking bedarkies. And there was another guy that was a relation, told him to, we better get away from the beach because he said the tide, he was wondering why the tide was coming in and going back out. And Joe Tanapi, that's Nick Tanapi, mm-hmm. his dad,
okay,
told him to better get away from the beach after the earthquake. And they didn't realize that's what it was, tidal wave mm-hmm. coming.
But they knew something was not right.
Right, after that big earthquake.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about the quake itself?
I don't remember. I just was mm-hmm. remembering, I was wondering, how come they have us so dressed up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were probably playing and not paying attention, but everybody looked a little tense.
Mm-hmm.
And, we were at our old house in English Bay, right above our grandparents. That's all I remember.
And then you moved over here after that to Seldovia? Is that right?
Mainly for work, my parents came over. They worked at what was called Wakefield mm-hmm. in the cannery. And King Crab.
So that would have been kind of about the time that Seldovia was being kind of taken apart and rebuilt. Do you have any memories of that?
No, I don't. Okay. I can't totally remember how long we were here in Seldovia. I believe it probably was enough to make enough money to go back home. And then my dad bought property from his brother. To me, it seemed like it was a good acre, like maybe 2. My nephew says maybe 1.5 acres. But I told him that was a big property there. He bought it for $500 in Port Graham.
Okay.
I believe after he worked here in Soldovia. And he was a fisherman, too.
Fishing on boats or
commercial sednets? Fishing. Commercial fish. Seining. That's called seining. Mm-hmm. And they call these boats, when he first had a boat, he fished with other people, and then Whitney Fidalgo had boats. They were called flounder boats. He had one of those boats. And he seined. And then he ended up buying his own boat, a wooden boat. And then he actually owned 3 of them. One of them was named Mitzi and Carol and Jay. The last one was Jay. And it's beached, still in Port Graham.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At the end of the airport, if you ever land in Port Graham, you'll mm-hmm. see it on the east end, on down the beach. It's got bad profanity on it from young kids.
How long has it been beached there?
I want to say since 1988, I believe. After 88. Yeah, 1988 okay. was when my dad fished last.
And it must not be a wooden boat, because I don't think it would still be sitting there if it were.
Okay. Fiberglass.
Okay.
Fiberglass. So it's still sitting there. Hopefully someday we could get it across to his 160 acres across the bay. Yeah, it's still there.
Okay. And then you mentioned you worked in the canneries over here.
Yes.
Do you remember approximately what years that was?
I worked here from 85 till 1990
in
the canneries when it went bankrupt in 1990.
And which cannery was that?
Dang it, I'm trying to think.
So Wakefield was gone by then.
No, right? It was gone. Yeah. It had a different name. It started with a P, I believe. Okay. And I cannot think of it.
And was that salmon or shrimp or?
It was all crab, halibut, salmon. That's all I remember. Cod and codfish.
I've heard so many different dates for when Wakefield closed down here, and I've never been able to figure it out, so I'm always looking for someone that can tell me when Wakefield finished.
I believe after the earthquake, pretty much.
Yeah, they came back and ran for a while after
for
that.
For a little bit, yeah. I think, and then they might have sold out, or they just moved on, because most of the companies, I believe, were owned from out of state, like Seattle. Mm-hmm. I think, because in Port Graham also, ours was called Whitney Fidalgo, and the guy used to come up from Seattle to run the fishery, cannery, which was really cool, because they'd work till 2 a.m. and then have to go back at 5 a.m. and work all the way around until they used all the fish. There's a lot of fish in them days. Mm-hmm. They canned fish was what it was.
And that was mostly salmon?
Yes. And they sold roe eggs, fish eggs, which that was my first job, I think, packing eggs. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to grade them too, grade fish eggs. I was really good at it. I got bored of packing eggs, so the Japanese would do the grading, so I'd go and have them show me how to grade. They'd grade it from, I think, 1 to 4, possibly 3. The first ones were no tears on the roe. Second, if there's holes, it would be number 2 and number 3. I think there might have been only 3 or 4 is real bad, but still, they were real spendy for a. They used to pack them in wooden box, plastic and salt. It was a very cool job. I think I lied about my age at the time. I was 14. I started work there.
There were never canneries in Nanwalek, I don't think.
No.
Okay.
My dad talked about a cannery in AC Point, it's called. It's between Nanwalek and Port Graham.
Okay.
Supposedly burnt down. And the one in Port Graham also burnt down. Mm-hmm. And my dad remembered it as a big fire.
Yeah, I've heard stories about that fire.
That one was sold by one of his relatives. He did not. I wish my dad was here to tell the story. He was a good storyteller too. He told me somebody kind of cheated this old guy and bought that whole cannery property for $5.
After the fire?
Yes. Or before the fire. So he always called it a bad omen. That's why they always burnt. It caught fire more than once. Twice. Once when I was there in Port Graham, it did. Burnt down. And they rebuilt it. And because they used it as a hatchery after the cannery closed down too. And now they do not have such a thing. They do not have cannery working at all anymore. They have a school job, store job, Port Graham Corps, housing, North Pacific Rim housing. Mainly now everybody just puts up their fish without cannery. No canneries, I don't think, anywhere, not even in Soldovia now either. So it's pretty much fading away, just like our language, I guess, which is kind of sad. And all the traditions are all, our foods like clams and cockles, they used to have cockles, it's kind of a form of a clam, but it's a, that they were good eating too. And we have snails, yerba darkies, eggs off the rocks, your mussels. What all else did we pick off? The seaweed, all our foods. I still like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We've never been able to find any cockles ever after the earthquake, especially. Because I remember in Port Graham with my aunt, I used to live with my aunt off and on through the years when I was a little girl. And we used to go and pick cockles and clams. And we walked through the muddy, it was low tide. And we had to time it just right to cross in Port Graham and then come back. And you'd be sinking just like a turnigan arm. I think that's about all.
So you mentioned having to cross, so were you crossing to another higher place to gather? I mean, I know it's an intertidal,
no, it
but
was like a beach.
So
like
you'd have to go out and collect and get back all before the tide came back in.
Right.
Okay.
You knew how to time that. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as that clock turned, if the tide is coming in about 9 that night or 10, we'd leave about 9. The low tide would be maybe about 7, so we'd start walking before 7. And you got a good amount for dinner in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And you shared with other people, your family members too.
And I know some of the, like, you know, seaweeds and so on are more seasonal, but some of the snails and bedarkies and so on, would you get those year round?
Bedarkies you can get year round. Mm-hmm. Snails are seasonal also.
Oh, okay.
And you got to get them, you have to pick them before the sun. My mom told me if the sun starts coming out, it's not a good time to eat them because it gives you a tummy ache.
Okay.
Ain't that something?
Yeah. So one thing I've always been curious
sun-baked
about.
Sun-baked snails are good.
Okay.
Not very good.
Some of the snails are so small. I've always been curious about how to prepare them.
Same way you do the bigger snails.
Mm-hmm.
They're black, you know, those little black snails.
Mm-hmm.
Those were our favorite.
Mm-hmm.
My dad used to bring us a big pot full and they'd cook it until the bubbly green disappeared. Mm-hmm. And they'd cool it off for us, and we get a toothpick or a safety pin.
Okay.
And all of us kids would be around eating mm-hmm. out of the pot.
Okay. That's what I was wondering, is how do you get them out of those tiny little shells?
With a okay. Either a bobby pin, safety pin, or whatever works, toothpick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before we had toothpicks, we used wood shavings for toothpick, okay. picking food out of your teeth. And we had, for toothpaste, it was powder.
Mm-hmm.
Yucky powder.
Yeah, my mother used to use baking soda and salt mixed together.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, that worked too. That wasn't my favorite, so I never went there. That was very yucky. But it's good to clean your mouth with that stuff. Salt is also good for a sore throat, gargling. That was an old remedy also. Salt water, table salt.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of my cousins, if he had a cut on his finger or whatever, on his hand, he'd use the salt water ocean to wash his hands to make it heal. Well, I was told by my grandma, my mom told me, my grandma said that's why she did dishes a lot, the faster healing for your cuts from knives when you're cooking or whatever. Do dishes all the time. Good way to heal your hands.
Yeah, I suppose it would get them nice and clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the soap.
Okay.
All right. Well, I've been keeping you talking a long time. And I think I told Margaret, just an hour. But you've got so many interesting things to say. I keep wanting to ask you questions, but I don't want to tire you out.
We could do it another time if there's another time to.
Yeah, if you'd be willing to come in and talk again sometime, that would be great.
Yes.
But for today, we probably better let you rest a little bit.
Yeah. It was fun.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Mm-hmm.